Ooh. Thank you, Lord. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I feel there's some shifting going on in here. Hallelujah. All right, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. You know it well, probably, but here it goes. Surely he, Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Go with me now to 1 Peter chapter 2. Down the road a little bit. Glory to God. Spirit of wisdom and revelation flowing in here right now. That praise and worship was powerful. 1 Peter 2, 24. By the way, how many people in here need a healing, physical or emotional, some kind of a healing? Praise God. Awesome. You're in the right place. 1 Peter 2, 24, just one verse. Who himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were, say were healed. Here we go. The title of my message tonight is simply this, Biblical Keys to Divine Healing. Biblical keys. Now, I know that sounds cliche, that sounds so simple, but I think I'm going to drop some spiritual bombs on you guys that's going to make you think of things that maybe you've never thought about before. So here we go. I'm just going to drop some things at you, let it soak in. It is no more the will of God for people to be in demonic bondage and have sickness and disease and infirmities in their body than it is the will of God for them to live in sin. Oh, I'm dropping it. Say, he's dropping it. Listen, the curse entered this earth through the fall of Adam and Eve. You guys understand that? Sickness, disease, infirmities, bondage. You could say it this way, the curse. The curse entered through the gateway of sin, okay? Sickness, disease, bondage, all those things. They are a spiritual problem. They're not a physical problem. Hello? They are a spiritual problem that demands a spiritual remedy. It has a spiritual root of sin. That's and the curse. That's where these things entered. Now, I didn't say that you sinned to get that thing. I said sickness, disease, and bondage entered the picture through sin. The curse. Are you getting it? All right. So I'm not pointing my finger and saying, you dirty sinner, this is why you're sick. I'm not saying that, right? Everything in the natural realm has a spiritual root. The natural realm was created by God in the spirit realm. God is a spirit. So everything that God created in the beginning was good. Was good. When Adam and Eve sinned, Eve and then Adam took it too, all right? It caused the perfection and the blessing of what God created, of what was good, you ready? To be defiled. That's what it did. We're going to have a little talk with Adam and Eve when we get to heaven one day, right? They made things a little tough for us, right? Because, you know, all of this that you see on this earth, we were created. God created this for us to live on earth for eternity. Did you know that? So Adam and Eve, they kind of threw a monkey wrench in there, but don't fear, God had plan B, right? But sickness, disease, and bondage, the curse, is a part of that defilement. It's a part of that corruption. It's part of, this is what that did. Are you ready? It lifted the blessing of God off because of that sin. And so when the blessing is lifted off, what's left? The curse. You shut a light off, what's left? Darkness. So when you lift the blessing off, it's the curse, right? So every evil and corrupt thing entered this earth through the gateway of sin. All right, you have to understand where this entered in. If you don't understand where all this junk entered in, you know what it's going to do? It's always going to make you wonder this. Is healing the will of God? Is my healing the will? Well, if you'll understand that it came in through the gate of sin, you'll understand that God hates sin. And God hates the curse. God hates everything that entered that defiled his everything that was good. You following me? So again, because the curse is a spiritual problem, it demands a spiritual remedy. That remedy is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his shed blood, what he accomplished on his earthly ministry, in his life here. The death on the cross, the resurrection from the dead, his ascension into heaven. And Jesus didn't just stop there. He also sent the Holy Spirit to help us live on this earth. Isn't that amazing? Isaiah 53 reveals to us that Jesus born our griefs and carried our sorrows. Now, if you just read over that, you'll just read that and think, oh, Jesus just did that just to feel what we would feel. He just did it for sympathy reasons. He just did it for empathy reasons. No, sickness, disease, and bondages. He literally took everything that the curse brought into this earth and he bore it upon himself. Listen, you got to get a revelation of this tonight. Jesus carried those things, not just for sympathy and empathy for us, but rather, here's what it is. Are you ready? Are you listening? To be our substitute so we don't have to carry them. Now, I know, listen, if you're in a fleshly mindset right now, you're like, oh, no, that's too good to be true. That's exactly what Jesus did, though. See, that's where the fleshly mindset will trip you up all the time. It's good. The gospel's good news. And the good news is this, that Jesus took everything the curse brought upon himself. See, we don't have a problem believing that Jesus took our sin when we put our faith in him, right? But we have a problem thinking, maybe he didn't take that cold that I'm dealing with. Maybe he didn't take that COVID. Come on, somebody. Come on. He took everything upon himself. Why? Because the curse is simply the fruit of when sin entered this earth. That is why 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you were healed. That's past tense. It's saying it's done. I don't know if you remember this or not, but Jesus said, it is finished. Because by his stripes you were healed. All right? Now, some say, well, that's just referring to our sins, not to sickness and disease. But the answer is, it's talking about all of it. But what they don't understand is that it's referring to the remedy of the sin problem, which includes the fruit of sin, the curse that entered in. Now, you could say the Holy Spirit gave me these words. I love this. Jesus closed the gate of the curse for us. Listen, let this soak deep down now. I'm telling you, you get a revelation of that. There's people that probably might get healed even just listening to this message right now. Jesus closed the gate of that curse for us. And then the Holy Spirit brought to my spirit Isaiah 59:19 that says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Why? Because Jesus closed the floodgate of that curse coming into our life. But it's not automatic. There's something we need to do to take advantage of that. Oh, trust me, I know what people are thinking. Oh, that's just too good to be true. Oh, that. No. It's true, and it is good. But it's not automatic. There's some things you need to do. Just like the word says that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But guess what? You have to put your faith in Christ to get saved. It's not automatic. Yet the sins that will ever be committed on this earth went on Jesus over 2,000 years ago. So people aren't getting saved. Whatever these New Agers and all these people are saying, that oh, everyone's saved. Oh, no, they're not. You got to put your faith in Jesus Christ, amen, the finished work of the cross, and in his resurrection. Some people say, oh, yeah, Jesus was a good man. Sure, sure. Yeah, he lived on this earth. There's a man named Jesus, but no, he wasn't resurrected from the dead. You're believing another Jesus. You must believe in the resurrection from the dead to be saved. You following me? But here's what happened. The devil has done an amazing job. The kingdom of darkness has done an amazing job of watering the word salvation down, numbing it down. Because most Christians, when you, be honest, when you hear the word salvation, the first thing you think, the only thing that most people think of is, oh, praise God, I get to go to heaven when I die. Right? But listen, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, death does not qualify you for salvation. Oh, you, hello, anybody awake out there tonight? Is everyone falling asleep? Want us to hand out blankets and pillows tonight? Here we go. Listen, death does not qualify you for salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ does. And that salvation blessing is for the moment you get born again on this earth. But the devil just, the devil's fine. The devil is fine with you thinking that salvation is just for the by and by when you pass away from this earth. Just as long as you don't advance the kingdom of God on this earth. Are you following me? That's all he wants. But the moment you got born again, eternity came in you. Come on, somebody. You are born again, and that salvation starts that moment. It is available to you. See, Jesus made the provision. Jesus made the provision, and you got to grab it. You got to take it. Amen? So salvation means the blessings of freedom from sin, the curse, healing, deliverance, soundness of mind, preservation, protection. It's an extremely rich word. All right? The dictionary defines salvation as this. I like this. As preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. So, again, we don't need those blessings when we get to heaven because everything's perfect in heaven. Amen. We need that protection from harm and loss and all of these things and ruin right here on earth. Amen? That's what salvation is. All right, so the very nature of sickness, disease, infirmities, and bondage is harm, ruin, and loss. Are you following me? So sickness, disease, and bondage, you look it up, Deuteronomy 28. That is only listed in the curse side. But when you look at the blessing, it includes healing. It includes deliverance. It includes freedom, okay? So do you guys all believe that Jesus came to give you life and to give it more abundantly, right? He came to give you life, not just life, but more abundant. It'd be good if it was just life, but more abundantly. So listen to this. Your heavenly Father is not going to put something on you that he has redeemed you from through his son Jesus. God doesn't have to use the devil's junk. Are you following me? Listen to this. So I want to give you some points about receiving healing and deliverance and some hindrances to that. Here we go. So God tells us in his word that his people, not the unsaved, his people, those in covenant with him, are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, so here's the deal. How many of you know you can know something but not take advantage of it? So listen to this. The Holy Spirit showed me this. He said, this lack of knowledge that destroys people is not just knowing something, here's what he said, but rather knowing connected to wisdom or adding some kind of action to your knowledge. Oh, come on now, listen to me. It's not just knowing, it's doing something, it's receiving. If you lack knowledge of the benefits of your salvation through Jesus Christ, you won't know to believe, and you won't receive those benefits, right? So if God says his people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, that means knowledge connected to wisdom will prevent us from being destroyed. You need the knowledge, but then you need some wisdom. You need some kind of corresponding action with it. Are you following me? So this reveals to us that the benefits of salvation, they're not automatic. If God says his people can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge, that must mean then the blessings of the gospel are not automatic. They're just not going to drop on you. There's something we need to do as his covenant people. It takes you and I knowing about them and doing something to receive them. Because how many of you know it says faith without works is what?
Dead.
All right? Jesus said something very profound when he healed an individual in the word here, this account. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Boy, the devil has really made a stick out of that to hit people over the head with, right? Oh, what? My lack of faith? Blah, blah, blah. You know what? Argue with Jesus when you get to heaven about it. It's right there. It's obviously a principle in the word of God, right? So beliefs and corresponding actions to prove what you truly believe, all right? How about this example? The woman with the issue of blood, for I believe she had it for 12 years. It says she heard about Jesus, she believed what she heard about Jesus, and she was willing to press through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. She said, if I can just touch him, if I can touch him, I will be made whole. So she not only believed, but there is a corresponding action connected to her faith. You getting it? Faith has action. In fact, Jesus, in another account, in Matthew 12, Jesus told a man to do something. He said, stretch forth your hand. What if the guy would have never stretched forth his hand? What would have happened? Nothing. I don't know. If Jesus gives you a command, you better obey it. If the Holy Ghost is telling you to do something, you better do it. Amen? Because there's some benefit in it for you. You need to forget. Oh, here's another thing. Here's another thing. And this is something that all of us have dealt with, okay? Is when we lose a loved one. Immediately, our mind goes to the experience of losing them. I know because my mom passed away at 54 years old of a heart attack in her sleep. So, here's what the Holy Spirit said, though. This is for all of us. Are you ready? You need to disconnect those negative emotions from your personal experience and disappointments from a loved one or a friend that passed away. Say disconnect. You got to disconnect from it. You got to disconnect from it. Disconnect it from your faith. It was a disappointment. Absolutely. Man, it rocked you, right? It rocked us, a death in the family or a friend. Yes, but don't connect it to God and his perfect will. Amen. We can't do it. Amen. Don't let the enemy uses that so many times where you connect the whole topic of healing with a loved one that passed away. You got to disconnect from it, and you got to believe what the word says. Are you following me? That's that double-mindedness, because you're reading the word, all these things about healing, and then you're like, yeah, but you know what that's called? Double-mindedness. Double-mindedness. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But that's how the enemy, how the kingdom of darkness, you know, talks Christians out of receiving and pressing in for their own healing and deliverance, okay? Jesus called Satan a thief in John 10:10. All right? So in other words, Satan and the entire kingdom of darkness, they're trying to influence you and I to pass up the benefits that Jesus gave you through his shed blood and resurrection from the dead, all right? So, but here's the awesome thing. The thief gets caught when you catch a revelation that healing and deliverance belongs to you through Jesus. That's why, see, there may be some of you in here, you had a hard time coming tonight. Everything tried to stop you. I mean, you just had a horrible day today, maybe some of you. Well, that's because the enemy doesn't want you to listen to this teaching and be in the presence of God, right? But once you get that revelation, personal experience that you encountered is no longer a hindrance to you receiving healing for yourself, all right, and your miracle. Now, another hindrance is found. I mentioned this a few weeks back in one of my messages on a Sunday. All right. Another hindrance is found in the life of King Asa. Go to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. This is like a diamond in the rough that's hidden in a mountain in the Word of God. And how we found it, Marianne and I were reading through the Bible in a year, and we're reading along, and we ran into this verse, and we're like, why did I never notice this verse before? But it jumped out. Are you ready? Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 16:12. This is amazing. All right, listen to this. It says, and in the 39th year of his reign, Asa became diseased in his feet. All right, some kind of disease, some kind of infection or something in his feet. And his malady was severe. Here it is. Underline this in your Bible. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. I mean, how did I never see this before? And when we read it, it just jumped out. I mean, it jumped out and like slapped me right in the face. All right. But here's what, I got to break it down because some people can take this and go right in the ditch with it. Okay. So here's the deal. Asa got a terrible disease in his feet, and it says he did not seek the Lord, but physicians. You have to understand this, all right? God is not against doctors or you seeking medical treatment, but he is against you ignoring him and putting your faith in man over him. That's the main point. Asa did not seek the Lord, okay? Now, go with me. Go with me to Jeremiah 17 real quick. So don't leave this place and say, well, Pastor James said not to go to the doctor. No, you filthy liar. I did not say that. I did not say that. And it's on TV. It's on camera. We got it on video to prove I didn't say that. Jeremiah 17. Look at this now. All right. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness in a salt land which is not inhabited. Now you start to see a switch. You ready? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, it'll be healthy, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease from yielding fruit, even in the year of drought. Think about that. Isn't that powerful? Now, this passage here, it's describing the results of having faith and trust in the Lord and the results of not having faith and trust in the Lord. This is a spiritual law of faith. This thing is describing it right here. It's laid out, right? B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, all right? So here's the deal. This is a spiritual law, and it's basically also the law of focus. Say focus. You know, focus is a spiritual law, all right? We are the ones that decide what direction to activate spiritual laws, all right? God is so good to us. God is so good that he revealed to us how to activate them in a good, blessed position. And he's so good that he revealed to us how not to do it, how to activate it in the wrong direction, right? But God makes it very clear in this passage that if we put our focus, our faith and trust in anything or anyone else other than him, that means this. When you take your focus off of God, you know what happens? Your heart has departed from the Lord. So your focus determines where your heart is connected. Oh, come on. Your focus depends, or it reveals what your heart is connected to. That's what an evil and ungodly soul tie is. You're trusting in something else. You're making an idol of something else. Your heart departed from the Lord, and it's focused on that person or thing. Are you getting it? All right. So that means that our heart has departed from him. And here's what happens. It activates. Are you ready for this? It activates a curse and negative results in your life. Now, so healing is spiritual. So therefore, we must have a heart or a spiritual connected with God to receive from him. Did you hear me? Healing is spiritual in our heart. If you want to receive healing in your body, in your soul, your heart must be connected to God. How? By focusing on him. By trusting him. By having faith in him. All right? You get it? That's called having a spiritual mindset. Say spiritual mindset. Oh, come on. Listen to this. So God is talking to his people. He's talking to his people in Jeremiah 17, all right? Those who are in covenant with him. Guess what we call those people who are in covenant with him now? Christians. Does anybody know that? We're in covenant with him, right? All right? So listen to this. So here's the mind-blowing truth that many Christians don't want to admit. Are you ready for this? In many Christian circles, in many Christians' life, they do not want to admit this. They don't want to believe it. But here's the truth. I'm getting ready to drop it. Say, I'm listening. I'm listening. Listen to this. You can be a Christian, yet still living in the curse and not in the blessing of Abraham through Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I just said? You can be a child of the living God. You can have faith in Christ. You can be a Christian in covenant with God, yet still living in the curse. That's sobering, isn't it? Many Christians don't want to believe that. God is revealing to us how to maintain divine order in our life by maintaining that heart connection with him. Say divine order. I like that. I like that phrase, divine order. As long as you're in divine order, in other words, what you were created to do, we were created to have that heart connection with God. As long as we maintain that divine order, you're going to walk in the blessing. Amen. The moment your heart disconnects from him, into flesh, a person, a doctor, medicine. Come on, somebody. I'm saying your faith is in those things. I didn't say don't go to the doctor. I didn't say don't take the medicine. I said when your heart disconnects from God and now all your faith and hope is in them, guess what you're going to experience? Not good results. Amen? So listen, we were created by God to have that heart connection with him. His original intent is still our intent today. That hasn't changed. Amen? When you get out of God's divine order, it opens the door to the curse to us as Christians. Listen, yeah, but isn't that talking about the unbeliever? No, unbelievers aren't even in covenant with God. They're living in the curse. They don't have any connection to the blessing. It's we as Christians are the ones that have that choice. Say, I have a choice. We have a choice to walk in the blessing in keeping that heart connection, or we have a choice to disconnect from God and live a cursed life. I don't know about you, but I want the blessed life. Listen to this. The very first thing you should do if you get a bad report from the doctor is this. Are you ready? You need to, number one, seek God first and ask him how you should handle that situation. Number one, go to God first. Amen? Not as a last option. Don't start doing things and getting into things, and then all of a sudden things are going haywire. God, what should I do now? Hello, somebody? Anybody listening? Secondly, if you do seek medical attention, make sure your faith and trust stays connected to God and his word. You following me? So now, this account in the word of God implies that Asa would have, if he would have sought the Lord first, say first. If Asa would have sought the Lord first and kept his focus on the Lord, he would have been healed and his life would have been extended. Do you get that out of that when you read that? Let me say it again. It implies that if Asa would have sought the Lord first and kept his focus on the Lord, he had that heart connection with the Lord, he would have been healed and his life would have been extended. Yes. All right? Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who passed away was disobedient to God. Hello, somebody. Are you following me? Yes. Don't be throwing hate up at me. I'm not saying all that. All right? But what I am saying this, I think we would be very surprised at how many people take their focus off of God when maybe it could have been different circumstances. Are you following me? I wouldn't be doing my job as a pastor, as a minister, if I didn't give these points out. Right? All right. So we need to constantly check our heart to make sure Jesus is at the center of it. And that our Heavenly Father, and we need to seek our Heavenly Father for wisdom and direction. Because here's the deal. If you seek Him first, guess what? He might say, I want you to go to this doctor. I want you to go to this surgeon. I want you to take this medication. Oh, stay away from that doctor. No, don't take that medication because it's going to have harmful results. Are you following me? So you want Him to lead you every step of the way. That's all I'm saying. So we seek Him first. Amen? That's all. That's all I'm saying. So the central point always goes back to Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3 real quick. Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. So we always got to ask, seek, and knock first on the kingdom of God. Right? All right. So if you get a bad report from the doctor, don't panic. Don't panic. Go to God. Go to God first. Talk to God, right? All right. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. And it says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So I love this passage. This is so powerful here. God has given us an insight here of instructions of what we need to do if we're going to live and walk live a supernatural life and walk in the supernatural. I really need you to focus and tune into what I'm getting ready to say. Are you tuned in? Yeah. All right. You need to catch this powerful revelation in connection to healing, deliverance, and just general well-being on this earth. All right. As a Christian, you and I, we are citizens of heaven. Do you agree with that? Yeah. All right. You are a citizen of heaven right now while you are on earth, while you're sitting in that cozy pew right now, while you're watching online. If you're a Christian, you're a citizen of heaven. All right? You get it? Now, because you and I, because we are citizens of heaven, all of the benefits and blessings of heaven also belong to you while you're on earth. Oh, you got to catch this revelation. This is so powerful. This is what the devil doesn't want you to catch. This is a truth that the devil doesn't want you to take hold of right now. Listen, Jesus didn't lay down his life to get you into heaven one day. He laid down his life to get heaven into you right now on earth. You understand that? That's the kingdom mentality. That is the mentality that will make demons run and hide when you come into a room. You got to understand, you have heaven. You have heaven living inside of you right now through the Holy Ghost. Amen? You're a citizen of heaven. That's why we're told to advance the kingdom of God. Why? Because we're citizens of heaven, and we can advance that kingdom right here on earth. Amen? We need to be on earth as it is in heaven, Christians. That is how we are to do that. Now, so we must, here we go, we must become aware and conscious of the fact that our citizenship is in heaven, that citizenship in heaven, while we are on earth, it should positively affect every area of our life on this earth, including physical and mental health. Hello? See, some of y'all might be choking on this, because I'm trying to shift you from a carnal, a natural mindset, where your mind is just set on limitations of this earth and of the natural realm. I got to shift that in you tonight. You got to get a spiritual mindset into the all things are possible. Amen? So that's what it means to advance the kingdom of God on this earth. The kingdom of God is within you. This is powerful. We can't release what we don't know is available to us. We can't release what we don't know is available to us, all right? And remember, Ephesians 1:3, I say it all the time, that all the blessings of the kingdom of God, of the gospel, they are all spiritual blessings. They're spiritual blessings. We've been blessed, it says, with all spiritual blessings. Notice it doesn't say natural realm blessings. Why? Because your faith takes hold of it in the spirit and pulls it in to the natural realm. You following me? So they say they are spiritual blessings. 2 Peter 1:2-4. 2 Peter 1:2-4 talks about us as Christians being partakers of the divine nature through the exceedingly great and precious promises in the Word of God through Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual provision that must be received. Again, it says that we are to be partakers of the divine nature. Say divine nature. That means above this natural realm. Why? Because you have a piece of heaven living on the inside of you. Come on, somebody. So we as Christians have allowed the kingdom of darkness and this evil world system to shift our focus on the natural realm, listen to me, and on the symptoms of whatever you got going on right now, rather than the exceedingly great and precious promises in the Word of God. And that is a hindrance to God's healing power from flowing in your life. I know, it doesn't go over very well. People take that as a cut down, but it's not. Hello? Yeah. Y'all still love me? Yeah. Listen, here's what you don't know, okay? Here's what we don't know. We don't know all the details about people that passed away before us. Are you following me? We don't know all the details that were involved. That's why we cannot base our faith on personal experiences. Are you following me? We just don't know, all right? So that's why you got to disconnect that from yourself, all right, when trying to receive for yourself and ministering to others, all right? So that wrong focus shifts us, like I said, into the territory of doubt. It shifts us into the territory of unbelief, of double-mindedness, that earthly human limitations. Now, James 1:6-8, has something powerful to say about the importance of our focus in connection to receiving from God. James 1:6-8. We got to teach the principles of God here, right? Now, can someone be healed without faith? Yes. How? Through the gifts of healing or a gift of miracles in operation. Now, here's the thing. That doesn't always happen. But you can always receive from your personal faith. Are you following me? Yes. That avenue through your personal faith is always available. The gift might not always be active. Are you following me? Does that make sense? James 1. So what I'm doing here tonight is I'm teaching you how to receive it for yourself. And if the gift happens, praise God. Right? You hit the spiritual jackpot. You hit the spiritual Powerball. Congratulations, you lazy thing. You didn't have to believe anything. Right? But my job is to teach you how to receive it for yourself, to position yourself to receive it by faith, right? All right, James 1:6-8. Listen, it says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man or person suppose that he or she will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So a mind that is not focused on God and His Word, a mind that is going back and forth from believing to not believing, will literally cause you not to receive anything from the kingdom of God. You could almost look at, you know, how many of you ever used a hose in the yard, right? And you're going along, you're watering the flowers, and all of a sudden it stops. How annoying! There's a kink in the hose. Isn't that annoying? Now you gotta drop that thing and you gotta go back, you gotta pick it up, unkink it, walk back, and are you following me? That's what doubt and unbelief do. It puts a kink in the hose from receiving. Get rid of the kink. Stand in faith. Keep that heart connection with God. Are you following me? Now, God makes it very clear that faith and trust is a requirement to receive from Him, from the kingdom of God on this earth. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 tells us to do two very important things in connection to receiving from God and living a victorious life on this earth. Here we go. Number one, here's the first instruction that's given. It first tells us to seek those things which are above where Christ is. Where's Christ right now? Jesus, that's right. He's up in heaven right now. No, Jesus isn't on earth. That's the Holy Ghost. Jesus is up in heaven. So the first thing it tells us to do is to seek those things. Say things. There's obviously some things in heaven that God wants us to understand and get a revelation of. Number one, right? So that's talking about heaven. We are being told to meditate on things, the things of heaven. All right? Where all things are possible. All right? We're being told, basically, to seek things which are above in heaven. Number two, the second instruction after seeking those things in heaven. It tells us to, once you find it, to set our mind, or set our thoughts on those things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. So it's telling us then, it says, think about heaven. Think about all the good characteristics of heaven. Are you following me? There's some pretty good characteristics. Is there sickness and disease in heaven? No. Oh, no. Think about that. Put that in your thought life. Meditate on that. Come on, somebody. And then it says, when you find out, we just determined there's no sickness and disease in heaven. There's total and complete health and prosperity. It says, once you get a revelation of that, once you seek it and find it, set your mind on it. Do not let your mind wander from heaven. Don't let your mind wander from your citizenship in heaven. And that also means then, not only are we supposed to meditate on those things, but it's also telling us this: do not meditate on anything that's earthly. That would put a kink in your hose of faith. Are you following me? And if you do meditate on anything on the earth, make sure, Philippians 4:8, it's good, it's praiseworthy, it's of a good report. Are you following me? Those are the only things that qualify on earth to meditate on. Other than that list in Philippians 4:8, baby, your mind better be set on heaven. It's got to be set. I'm telling you, this is such a key right now. This will change your Christian walk forever. You will get such a consciousness and awareness of who you are in Christ, of the power of heaven and the Holy Ghost that you have. You will walk into a room and people will start to feel the atmosphere shift because of the anointing that's upon you. That's what you're drawing in as you're meditating on the things of heaven. Oh, I love breaking this down here. Listen to this. And that includes, listen to me, not setting your mind or thoughts, I gotta say it, on doctors, medication, or the symptoms in your physical body. Anything that's on this earth, is not to be focused on unless unless it fits within Philippians 4:8. Wow. Now you can see why Joyce Meyer said in her book, the mind is the battlefield. The mind, the devil's not just after your physical body hurting it. The devil's after your mind, because if he can get in your mind, it's gonna affect your physical body. Why? Because everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. The words that come out of your mouth, they're spiritual. How do I know that? Because I've never seen a dead person in a casket get up and talk. His spirit left the building. But when the spirit's in the building, like you, you're in the building, right? Is your spirit in the building? Y'all awake in here?
So far.
Look at it. There's words coming out. There's emotion. There's laughter. That's not your brain. That's your spirit, man, manifesting through your earth suit. That's why if you're looking for a relationship with an individual and all you're looking at is the outward appearance, forget it. There needs to be a heart connection with that person. In fact, a heart connection, soul tie connection is so powerful. People can fall for each other through chat on Facebook and social media. Never met the person in person in their life. But every day, they're chatting with them, and all of a sudden, there's this soul connecting forming. Why? Because everything is spiritual. It's a spirit-to-spirit connection. Might be a wrong connection. But nonetheless, there's some kind of a soul tie being formed. Amen. Anybody ever want to admit you did that on Facebook in the past with a relationship? Oh, okay, I guess not. Happens all the time. All the time. What I'm trying to prove is this, is that everything is spiritual. Everything is, your emotions are spiritual. Your spoken words are spiritual. That's why they're so powerful. Your thoughts are powerful. Do you know your thoughts are communication in the spirit realm? Let me say that again. Your thoughts are communication in the spirit realm. Oh, this is getting good. Listen to this. So the word of God is very clear that our seeking things that are above, that are characteristics of heaven, and setting our mind or thought life on those things in heaven will pull those blessings into our life. Why? Here, don't ever forget this. Write this down. Ready? Where your focus goes, energy flows. Where your focus goes, energy flows. In other words, you will attract those things that you are focusing on in your life. All right? You will. It is. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. When you are seeking your heavenly things and setting your mind on and focusing on things, that will promote faith on the inside of you. When you're seeking heavenly things, I said, when you're meditating on heaven, on the glories of heaven, how everything is amazing up there. Oh, no sickness, no disease, there's no bondage, there's no fear up there. Oh, glory to God. Man, I'm just getting like fireworks in my spirit right now. Because as you focus on that, you will start to notice if you have a fear problem, you have an anxiety problem, all of a sudden you'll see those the fear and anxiety start to melt away. Why? Because you're drawing those things from heaven on the inside of you by your focus. Say focus. Again, when you're focusing on heaven, you're focusing on the all things are possible zone. I love that. Now let's look how the enemy will attack you. Okay, with this, we can know the enemy's playbook by looking at Colossians 3, 1 through 3, by looking at it in reverse. Say reverse. If God tells us to seek those things which are above where Christ is, just know the kingdom of darkness will do everything they can do to influence you not to seek those things which are above. But they will tempt you. They will try to influence you to put your focus on earthly, natural things outside of the boundaries of Philippians 4:8. Think about that. Say Philippians 4:8. I never brought up a scripture so much and not read it, but you read it on your own, all right? It's like everyone knows Philippians 4:8, right? Oh, come on now. But if God tells us to set our mind or thoughts on things above and not on the earth, just know the kingdom of darkness will do everything they can do to distract and shift our focus on things on the earth in the natural realm, outside of the boundaries of Philippians 4:8. So can you see the difference there? God is telling us to seek and set our mind. Oh, listen to this. All right, come on. Get focused with me right here because this is powerful. God is telling us to seek and set our mind on the spiritual remedy and the blessings of our homeland in heaven while the kingdom of darkness wants us to focus on the negative circumstances in the natural realm. God is revealing, you gotta get this. Are you ready? Here it goes. God is revealing to us how to shift something by going to the root, and the devil is trying to get us distracted by only focusing on the negative fruit. Oh my goodness. God, again, let me just remember, everything is spiritual. Say it with me. Everything is spiritual. God is revealing to us how to shift something by going to the spiritual root. And the devil's trying to distract you by focusing on the fruit in the natural realm. Wow. That is why, the Holy Ghost gave me this. Are you ready for this? That is why medicine is not our only answer or hope on this earth. Medicine might treat a symptom or an outward fruit, but it won't fully heal you. Hello, somebody. In fact, that medication might treat one symptom, but give you 5 other negative symptoms. Elbow feels great, but boy, I got diarrhea all day. Woo! Right? Wow. Knee feels wonderful, but can't get off the toilet all day. Are you following me? I had to break the atmosphere a little bit here. Right? Listen to this. So again, I'm not telling you not to take medication. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that faith in Jesus, faith in his finished work, faith in the promises in the Word of God is the answer, and it will deal with the root problem, the curse. Amen? That's what I'm trying to say, all right? And there is the beautiful thing about Jesus is this, is that there's no negative side effects with faith in Jesus and the Word of God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. So while you're taking that medicine, keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your trust, keep your heart connected to him. Amen? Hallelujah. It all comes down to this. Sickness, disease, and bondage are spiritual problems, and they will never be fully remedied by anything in the natural realm. That's what I want you to take away from this. They are a fruit of the spiritual curse. It takes a spiritual remedy to solve a spiritual problem. Everything trying to promote death and harm in our body and soul is a spiritual problem. Whatever is trying to harm your body, whatever is coming against you, sickness and disease, it's a slow death in your body. It's trying to pull you down. It's trying to take your body down, right? All right? It's a spiritual problem. So we are to seek those things which are above. We are to desire them in our life on this earth. And then we are to set our mind, our thought life, on those things we find in the Word of God and meditate upon and what's in heaven, all right? And part of that setting your mind on those things, so you find it, you're seeking, and you found it, and part of setting your mind on it is something that we use tonight before I started preaching, is our imagination. Using your imagination. I seen a post earlier today. Someone said, Your imagination is not to be used for Disney. It was given by God to receive the promises of God in your life. Your imagination is your spiritual sight. It's your spiritual eyes. Think about this now. If you have a sickness, a disease, an infirmity, a bondage, take that revelation of what you found in the Word of God, what you found out's in heaven, that characteristic of heaven, and use your imagination to start seeing yourself living in that blessing right here on earth. Not when you get to heaven, right? No. We need it here on the earth where this curse is active on the earth. There's some bad things on this earth. Amen? We need it here. If you will maintain that focus, that hope, that faith on the inside of you, you will begin to notice a shift starting to happen on the outside. So stay connected to it. Don't disconnect your heart. Don't disconnect your heart and imagination. How do you know if your heart is fully connected to something? How do you know if your heart is fully connected to something? You want to know how? It'll affect your imagination. It will affect your imagination. How do I know that? That girl who's wild about that guy on Facebook, where that spiritual connection is there, that soul connection is there, she thinks about him all the time in her imagination. Come on, somebody. Are you following me? You know what your heart is connected on based on what keeps playing through your imagination. That's how you can know, is there bitterness in me? Is there unforgiveness? Why? Do you keep replaying situations of when that person hurt you? Hello? By the way, tomorrow morning, you might want to come back. I'm preaching how to detox your soul. This whole weekend is just healing, deliverance, and emotional healing time. How to detox your soul. And there's some powerful revelation in that. But I'm almost done. I'm on the last page here. The key to maintain that focus and mindset until the physical... The key is to maintain that focus and mindset until the physical manifestation comes in your body or in your soul or in your life. And you know what that's called? Faith. Faith is that bridge of when you don't see it in the natural, you're still believing. You're still staying connected. What did Kenneth Hagin say? Keep the switch of faith turned on. Don't turn that switch of faith off. Don't focus on that natural realm. Don't do it. Get your mind back on heaven. Get your imagination seeing yourself living and walking in that blessing, in that healing, in that prosperity. Come on, somebody. Amen. You must see it on the inside. And that's what it means to set your mind on things above. You got to see it on the inside. Say, I got to see it on the inside. All right? If you're not seeing it on the inside, there's a kink in the hose. If you're not seeing it on the inside, there's a kink in the hose. Get rid of the kink. All right? Your mind is on the inside of you, in your heart. Not your physical pump, your spirit man. All right? And that is your thought life. Say thought life. Your focus and faith will draw the characteristics of heaven down to earth in your life. Man, I like that. All right. That's the word tonight. I know I said a lot. You can go watch it on YouTube, Facebook, whatever, take notes again. So we're going to start praying for people. What we're going to do is we're going to do what we always do. Prayer team, you can come on up. You can line up against that wall, and you're going to come right through here one at a time. Now, we're not going to take a long time because we don't need a long time, right, to talk to each person. What you need is hands laid upon you in faith, and we're ready to do that. Me and Marianne and the prayer team. So you're going to come up, get prayed for here, go down the steps. Prayer team's there. It's like going through a car wash, baby. You're going through a spiritual car wash. You're going to get double prayer. Amen? But while you're waiting to get prayed for, I want you to do this. Think about the characteristics of heaven. Think about Jesus taking your sins, your sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, bondages upon himself. You know, And I want you to see those things. If you have a sickness or a disease, an infirmity, something going on, I want you to picture yourself that coming out of your body, all right, and being placed on Jesus, because that's what happened. That's reality. That literally happened. That's not just physical reality he did it. It's a spiritual reality. Amen? So use your imagination, your spiritual eyes, to see yourself healed, see yourself set free, and picture yourself in your imagination doing something you could not do before. All right? See that organ healed on the inside of you, or whatever you need healing or deliverance for. And just know when we lay hands on you, us and the prayer team, just know the power of God's going to be released because we're standing in faith. Amen? So thank you so much for coming tonight. We'll post the date for the next one. But I'm believing fruit to come forth from this. Did you all take something from this message to take home? I know praise and worship was powerful, so you're taking home the presence of God. I know that. It's all over you. So thank you so much for coming. Now, if there's anybody, let's stand up in this place. Prayer team, you can come down. If there's someone in here you've never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, today's the day to do it. Don't leave here without doing that. I want to give that invitation. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I want you to come down and pray with one of our prayer team members, all right? But all of you, thank you so much for coming. Have a great night. Go to church tomorrow. And remember, tomorrow we're going to detox the soul here at Living Waters Chapel. God bless you all. Have a great night.